Welcome to Wonderfully Made, a weekly show hosted by Dr. Kara Daly, Christian wife, mother, and pediatric psychologist. Each week's show spotlights God's work in the lives of individuals with special needs. Today's program is brought to you by In His Steps Foundation. Now here's Dr. Kara Daly.
Welcome to this week's program of Wonderfully Made. I'm Dr. Kara Daly. Our guest today is Kathleen Bolduc, author of Spiritual Art of Raising Children with Disabilities, as well as other wonderful books. I'm glad you joined us for this broadcast of Wonderfully Made. Each time we meet, we will spotlight God's work in the lives of individuals with special needs. You'll hear a conversation with someone who has a story or a program to share about how the glory of God has been displayed in the life of individuals with special needs. On some of our shows, we will have time for questions with me, Dr. Kara. Our goal is to praise God for the stories and programs that highlight how all individuals are created in God's image for His purpose so that He may be glorified. You can learn more about this program and a little about me at wonderfullymade.life and on Facebook at Wonderfully Made. You can also email me at karadaly@wonderfullymade.life. Again, another special thank you to today's sponsor, In His Steps Foundation, whose mission is to encourage and teach Christ-like stewardship. In His Steps Foundation helps people discover and implement God's plan of stewardship for their wealth, utilizing all the benefits of a low-cost public foundation. Assisting other ministries becomes the basis for personal giving and estate planning at In His Steps Foundation. For more information about In His Steps, please visit their website at ihsfound.org or call 330-528-1785. So our listeners know Wonderfully Made is a broadcast that spotlights God's work in the lives of individuals with special needs. And today we are talking with an amazing author, as well as a mother of an adult son with autism, Kathy Bolduc. I've found that Kathy and I have actually traveled in some of the same circles and know many of the same families. As I was reading her book, I was like, oh, they're my friends. She's a published author of several books focusing on special needs, although her latest book, The Spiritual Art of Raising Children with Special Needs, is getting a lot of attention. So welcome, Kathy. We're excited to have you. Why don't you start by just sharing with the listeners a little about you and your family and how you became an author?
Well, I have been married for 42 years, and my husband and I have three sons and two lovely daughter-in-laws, so it's really great to have some women in the family with me nowadays. And then I also have an adopted daughter who came into our life through our son, Joel. Joel's our youngest, and he has autism. And I have been on a God hunt ever since Joel came into my life. And I think that really God just got my attention in a really big way, even before Joel was born, when my father died. And I really wasn't following the Lord at that time, and God just intervened in the midst of my grief with an amazing dream that then came true a few days later and just showed me that He loved me and wanted to just be with me in the midst of my sorrow. And so ever since then, I've just, you know, been on this hunt to get to know more about this God who loves us so much. And then right before Joel was born, my husband and I joined a meditation class through our church, which was another blessing from the Lord, to learn this wonderful spiritual discipline that would end up to be such a life preserver as we started into this world of disability and autism that we knew absolutely nothing about. Because living with autism usually includes quite a few behavioral issues, tantrums and aggression and anxiety attacks. And living with all of Joel's needs really just deepened my desire to find God in the midst of a day-to-day struggle. And meditation really was that place that centered me. Brought me into God's presence, and brought me to a place where I knew that I was loved and accepted just the way I was, because I felt so inadequate as the mom of a little one with autism. So, you know, that's really kind of what led me into this journey of going deeper with God. And on that journey, I'd always wanted to be a writer, and I was going to writing conferences when Joel was little, and they said, write what you know. And I thought, well, I know what it's like to grieve a child's disability. And so I think I'll write a little bit about that. And that just really got the ball rolling.
Well, I know in this latest book, The Spiritual Art of Raising Children with Special Needs, it's when I read it, I felt like I was, it was a devotional Bible study handbook just in how to cope and how to grieve and also to celebrate having a child with special needs. And when I was reading it, I was like, I could see this book being used for any parent who's struggling with any child that, you know, every child that anyone has is an unexpected journey many times, or any individual just having an unexpected trial that comes along. I just I was really encouraged by reading your book. I told you in an email, I said I left my book that I bought of yours in Michigan, and so I'm not able to look at the cover. But I know on the cover of the book there's a mosaic. Can you just talk a little bit about that and why the cover looks the way it does?
Yeah, when I was thinking about this book, what I really wanted to explore was the different ways that the different parents of kids with disabilities find God in the midst of the journey. And this whole idea of a mosaic, I just kept thinking about how mosaics are created by hand out of broken but beautiful pieces of pottery or glass, and you know, they shine as the light reflects off of them or sometimes passes through them. I thought about the way they're just a way of viewing the world. You know, there's brokenness in wholeness, and there's also wholeness in brokenness. And I thought, gee, what a great metaphor for those of us who are raising kids with disabilities. And just the way our lives kind of shatter with that first diagnosis. And then we work at gathering up the broken pieces and rearrange them into a familiar, we try and rearrange them into a familiar pattern. And yet we end up creating something brand new. And I thought about the way that God is the master artist. You know, he's working alongside us and helping us rearrange those pieces of our lives into really a work of greater beauty than what came before, if we allow him to help us. And it's actually the picture of the mosaic on the book is a cross with roots and then leaves coming out of the top of it. And I had taken that from a passage in Ephesians about being rooted and grounded in the love of God, which is really what the book is all about. You know, how do we root ourselves and ground ourselves in that love?
And I love just the first part of your book is really just stories of families that have individuals with disabilities and their struggles, but also their celebrations and how glory has been, the glory of God has been demonstrated in what's happened. Can you just maybe highlight one of your favorite encounters or favorite parts of the book that that highlights some individual, whether it's your son Joel or someone that you've interviewed for your book, about how the glory of God was displayed in their life?
Well, you know, I interviewed 12 people, just a hodgepodge of different walks of life. There was a pastor, a homeschooling mom, an award-winning poet, a spiritual director, Jenny Thornburg, who's been a leader in the National Disability Movement for a lot of years, a mom who had an adopted son with fetal alcohol, a stay-at-home mom, so people from all different kinds of walks of life. I think that I absolutely love each of the stories, so it's hard to say which one is my favorite. But I interviewed a fellow who is a spiritual director, and I've actually trained with him as I went into training to be a spiritual director. And he has a son who they really didn't discover until the son was in his teens that he had myotonic dystrophy, a type of muscular dystrophy. And then later it turned out that his daughter also was diagnosed, and she was carrying a baby at the time, and they found out through genetic work that the baby would be impacted as well. And then they found out that he actually has it himself. So within a year or two, they found out that four people in their family were afflicted with this genetic disease that that just affects the skeletal and muscle systems of the body and the endocrine system and the central nervous system. It's really a rough disability. And so Dave was just so open and honest and vulnerable about dealing with his guilt for not seeing what was going on in his son. They knew something was wrong, but the doctors didn't catch it. And so he was a teenager by the time they knew. And so Dave really, really dealt with quite a bit of guilt about that. And he tells me, I'm just going to read a paragraph here. He says, "You know, I remember sobbing in the car with the news that Carrie's baby would probably be born with a severe form of this disorder. She will most likely deliver the baby in the next week or two months early. It was a moment of desolation. But I remember also it wasn't a voice or a thought. It was a deep understanding that God was bearing witness to my tears at that very moment, that God felt my pain, that he understood the suffering within me in the car right at that moment. I remember thinking, mark this place. Remember this place where God met you, a stone of witness. Mark it, because you'll be back here again. Mark it as a sacred space where God met you." And, you know, I think sometimes it's just more difficult for men to admit to those places of deep grief. And, I'm really hoping that his story touches the dads that read this book. And that we can set up these stones, kind of a stone of remembrance, you know, yes, God met me here in this place of grief. It's a sacred place. And it's a place I can come back to, and I can say, yes, God was here. God was here with me. I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I hope some of our dads listening now that are hearing this.
Yes. And then at the end of each chapter, I have a reflection exercise, which parents have been telling me have really been helpful. So the reflection exercise at the end of that chapter, I just say, find a comfortable place to sit where you know you won't be interrupted, and close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, breathe from your belly, and then when you're relaxed, let your mind take you to a place and a time when you experienced the Lord's very real presence. Could have been in childhood and adolescence or yesterday. But bring the picture of that place up into your mind's eye and let yourself see the colors, reach out and touch something. You know, what do you smell? And then allow yourself to relive that meeting with God and let the feelings resurface. and then just sit with the Lord and let his love wash over you. And then when you've spent enough time, construct a stone of witness in your mind, something that you can come back to again and again when feelings of shame or guilt threaten to overwhelm, and remember the love. Remember the love.
Wow. And I know in your in each of the testimonies, the stories that you shared, you do these exercises at the end, which really lead up to the second half of the book, which are the really the spiritual mm-hmm. disciplines. Can you talk with us about that? So you have prayer, meditation, lecto divina, meditation, and celebration. I said mediation. Tell me what they
meditation,
are.
Meditation. Yeah.
Meditation. I said meditation. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I just really wanted to, you know, we have this treasure chest of spiritual disciplines that have been around for hundreds and thousands of years that we can draw upon because they're traditions that really draw us closer to God and fill us to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And they really can lower stress at the same time. And I know as parents of kids with disabilities, all of us can use a little less stress in our lives. The chapter on prayer, you know, I think that some of us, very often we kind of get stuck in one kind of prayer, you know, the type of prayer that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth Haley Barton, who's one of my favorite spiritual writers, says sometimes we get pot bound in our prayer life. And we really need to kind of take the plant out of the pot, shake it off a little bit, loosen up those roots by trying something new. So, you know, if you're used to just doing intercessory prayer, it might be nice to try some contemplative prayer for a change. You know, not going with what we want to see happen in the world, but just to sit in God's presence and listen for him. Sometimes breath prayer, which consists of just one or two simple words that we speak in our mind with every inhalation or exhalation, especially if we're in a place of great anxiety, that can be really, really helpful. You might want to try attending a healing prayer service sometime where people lay hands on people who come for prayer and just pray for the healing power of the Lord to touch them. And then there's the prayer of examine, which is when we go to bed at night, we just kind of look back through our day and pray for the Lord to show us those places where we allowed the Lord's Spirit to move and those places where we didn't, knowing that God loves us unconditionally and he accepts us as we are, but yet he's always inviting us to transformation. And then meditation, the chapter on meditation, meditation is kind of my personal life preserver, I would say, or my lifeline.
And maybe while you talk about that too, maybe you can talk about how just meditation has impacted your life personally. Maybe give some examples.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, some people call it meditation. Some call it contemplative prayer or centering prayer. So I use a centering word, and my centering word is "Come, Lord Jesus." So I just repeat that. I just sit and repeat that in my mind, kind of in rhythm with my breath. And just it's very calming, very relaxing. And then it just gradually leads me down to this place where everything else kind of falls away. And I just feel like I'm sitting in the Lord's presence. Sometimes there's a bright light there. Sometimes it's just quiet. But it's a place where I know that I am totally loved, totally unconditionally. I don't have to come with any type of an agenda. I'm not trying to change myself. I'm not trying to change anything else. I just want to rest in the Lord's presence. And living with autism and some of Joel's behaviors through the years, life was pretty chaotic, and I really needed that place of peace. It felt like a place of being sheltered under the wing of God, and a place where I just felt very safe. And then sometimes the Lord speaks to me in that quiet place. So it's just, for me, it has been transformative. It's really been a life-changing discipline for me. And I thank God for Joel, you know. If my need hadn't been so great, I probably wouldn't have continued at it.
Yeah.
Because you have to take time, you know, and take at least 20, 30 minutes a day for it. And I think that's one of the really great gifts that Joel's given me is he's put me before the Lord pretty much every day. And I can't think of a greater gift than that.
And then you have the Lectio Divina, which is the spiritual
Divina
reading. I love how you separated these, and then the celebration. I know we actually time goes so fast. We only have a couple minutes left, so I want to make sure you touch base on those, and
sure,
then also just talk with parents too of kids with disabilities who are struggling. Like, what would be recommendations too when you do
that? Lectio Divina is a sacred reading of the scriptures. It's just slowing down your reading. I really highly recommend it to anyone. And worship and celebration, I think, are two of the things that our children can really lead us to.
Yes, I agree.
Just celebrating life on a daily basis.
They live in the present, and we don't.
We
don't.
Do. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the present is the place to celebrate. It really is. I think that, you know, what I would recommend for kids of disabilities who are struggling right now, I would say, you know, what is your natural pathway to God? Is it being out in nature? Is it Bible study? Is it contemplative prayer or worship? Or maybe it's social justice. You know, but whatever the place that you're most likely to meet God, I think we each have a pathway that we walk quite often in our spiritual life. And I would say, walk it as often as you can and fill yourself up so that you can get restored on a daily basis. Just make the time, you know, make the time, carve the time out. I would also suggest finding a prayer partner, you know, maybe that would be your spouse or maybe your best friend. Or maybe another friend of a parent of a kid with a disability, but somebody who you can pray with regularly, and just pray through the hard stuff, celebrate the good stuff, somebody who will keep you accountable for spending time with the Lord.
I love it. Kathy,
yeah.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It was a truly blessing to me, and I know our listeners as well, to hear
thank
your story.
You. I'd love to just say that my son Joel has been the greatest spiritual teacher of my life.
I believe it.
I can't thank God enough for him.
Well, I love how you start your book with Ephesians 3:17-21, and I want to end that today. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So today we don't have time for a question with me, but I have a question for you, my listeners. You are someone who is wonderfully made. And as someone who is wonderfully made, have you asked God to strengthen your heart with his Spirit so that you can comprehend what he is trying to accomplish in your life. Please pray and think upon that in Ephesians 3, 17 to 21 during the next week. A special thank you to our guest, Kathleen Bulldog. To learn more about Kathy and her book, The Spiritual Art of Raising Children with Disabilities, follow links on our website, wonderfullymade.life. Next week, please join me as we meet Harmony Hensley, ambassador to an organization called 99 Balloons. Thank you. This is Dr. Kara Daly.
You've been listening to Wonderfully Made, a show devoted to the special needs community. Today's program has been brought to you by In His Steps Foundation. Tune in every Tuesday from 7:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. and be sure to visit the show online at wonderfullymade.life for more information and to submit your questions.